Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Anybody, anywhere,
anywhere. It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
All right, welcome into Northwest Stadium, Landover, Maryland. Take command, Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson. The Commanders drop a 38-14 game to the Seattle Seahawks. They trailed 28-0. Sam Darnold, more touchdowns in this game than incompletions. And the big story, for the third time in his last five games played, Jaden Daniels leaves with an injury. This one looked serious. So, Logan, start with that. Jaden Daniels, pretty gruesome-looking injury to the elbow. What do we think?
Yeah, I mean, I was standing right there on the sideline when it happened. It was one of those things where you just kind of see kind of that unusual movement of the elbow. And obviously, you know, hearts and prayers and wishes, all that stuff go out to him and make sure he's doing okay. You know what I'm saying? But it's going to be, it looked to me like it was dislocated, and we'll see what the actual diagnosis is. But I just feel for him, and I feel for the team, feel for the fan base, really, you know, because like I talking to Santana, talking to Bemis, talking to Fletch, like we're fans of this team, you know what I mean? And so we feel that he was the guy that kind of gave us that spark, gave us the opportunity potentially. And, you know, now that he's not there, it seems a little bit more bleak.
You don't know timeline until we know, are there ligaments involved? Is there a fracture? Is it just a dislocation? But clearly, for the short term, they're going to be moving forward without him, which means more Marcus Mariota. We've seen plenty of Marcus already this year. And next up's the Lions to finish off this three-game gauntlet. It's four straight losses for Washington. And more importantly, Logan, it's three straight losses of 21 or more points now, which has not happened for this team since 2001. It hasn't happened in the NFL since 2020 with the Jaguars. So I worry a little bit about like a locker room when things like that are happening. Sure. Give me some thoughts being in a locker room. It's not just that you're losing. You're losing by 21 to 30 points week in and week out for 3 weeks. What that can do to your psyche.
Yeah, and it is difficult to deal with for sure. But you know, you've covered enough teams to know that everyone's a professional. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I've been a part of some bad football teams here in Washington, in Chicago. We were one of the worst teams in the franchise's history, a lot of bad losses. And the ultimate thing that I came back to during those phases was like, I have to make sure I have a job the next week, the week after, the following week. And I'm not going to do that if I'm putting bad stuff on tape. And I think that's the thing about professional sports that, you know, people not in our position that don't get to interact with it every day don't understand is these guys, this is their livelihood. This is important to them. And they're going to be pros about it. And I think, you know, for example, like Bobby Wagner saw his leadership tonight on the sideline. Like when you have leaders like that, guys with that understanding, and I guess the direction, and they understand how long and how difficult the NFL season is, I think that's extremely valuable. But yeah, they're going to be pros. They're going to find a way to get through it. And yeah.
When you say you saw Bobby's leadership on the sideline, kind of, you know, accentuate that. Like, what'd you see?
Yeah. So, you know, like there's the busted coverage to just based on their interaction of the sideline, there's the touchdown there. Mikey Sanders kind of been trail on number 82 or whoever it is to the corner, and they're on the sideline talking. I thought he was going to bail out. He should have been here. And Bobby came over and he's like, hey guys, like we're okay. Like we're going to get this communicated next time. We're just going to run this check. I don't remember the exact verbiage, and we're going to be fine. And I just remember like, because all the DBs were kind of squawking and talking to each other. And he was like, guys, no, hey, we're good. And it's nice when you have a guy like that on the roster. Like people talk about what he's doing on the field and maybe how he's not what he once was. But I look at it and I say, man, it's great having a guy who can be your center direction in a storm like that in Bobby Wagner.
So let's talk about the defense. They give up 38 to Seattle here. Seattle's 7-11 on third down. They go for 420 yards, and they took the foot off the gas pedal in the fourth, and it was 8.7 per play. You and I in the preview pod, we talked about this. Oh, man, this is an elite group. They're number three in yards per play. They don't run it well, but they don't stop running it. And basically, they're not a run team. Like, everyone else talks about their run game. To me, they're a heavy personnel pass team.
Yes.
That everything is predicated on play action in the passing game out of heavy looks. And they torched Washington in that regard. Darnold in this game, 21 of 24 for 330 and four. What did we see?
Yeah, I think the one thing that we talked about in the preview pod was their ability to find and generate explosive plays. I love how you just characterized that from that that heavy personnel look, 13 personnel, 21 personnel. We can get that downhill play action. We can pack in. We can get different defensive personnel on the field. So the one thing that was imperative, the one thing, you know, Fletch kind of kept reiterating on the broadcast, B mentioned the post-game show, is just you got to mitigate explosive plays. Just manage those as much as you can, right? And Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to get his opportunities. Man, he is a dynamic, special football player. His relationship with Sam Darnold was on full display tonight. Very special.
By the way, JSN has had at least 70 yards in every game this year.
He's incredible.
And he's had 90 or more in all but one. He came in the leader in the NFL in receiving yards, and he went for 119 in the first half.
Yeah.
He ended up with 129. Again, they kind of took their foot off the gas pedal. But it felt like he was going to get his. Now, my personal opinion, I think there are fans that will say it was way too easy for him to get a lot of that in the middle of the field. That said, you knew that was going to happen. Yeah. You're trying to take away some of the other things, and that might have been where they let up.
I think that's where I was the most concerned coming out of this game, is like watching the film, like that was going to happen. Like
meaning the Smith and Jigba
stuff. Maybe he doesn't go for 200 yards, but he's going to get a bunch of first downs. He's going to make some explosive chunks. It's the completion to the tight end in the red zone and man-to-man coverage. It's the completion to the third string receiver on a corner route on a keeper where you kind of bust the coverage. It ends up being an explosive play because you miss a tackle. Those shortcomings are the things that really stick out to you. Like on the ones that the explosive play off the keeper, like just make the tackle, you know, just make that tackle there. And I think that's the thing is, you know, as the injuries have piled up, as the season has elongated, as the offense has kind of lost its identity without these dynamic playmakers on the perimeter, you need to the margin for error for victory is so small because you've become a less talented football team over the course of the year. So how do we manage that? We tackle, we fit runs. Offensively, we got to pass protect. We probably got to shorten the game a little bit now, run the football, find the easy buttons. And again, like that is such a small window to hit. And when you go back and watch this game, like we gave them more than they deserved, I think, in this game. And I think that's the frustrating thing is they're good. And good offenses are going to get theirs, but you couldn't manage those explosive opportunities better. And I think that's frustrating.
Sam Darnold's balling right now.
I mean,
he's a top five pick at one point in time. I know he was the butt of jokes with the Jets. Had a hell of a year with Minnesota, and everybody said, oh, it's Justin Jefferson and Kevin O'Connell.
But
it's a little more than that.
But to be fair to Justin Jefferson, Kevin O'Connell, he went from Minnesota with maybe the best receiver in football to now Seattle with one of the better receivers in football. And again, their ability to run that kind of what I would call pull concept, 5 yard sit, breakout, dig by Jackson Smith and Jigba, excellent. And the multitude of ways they're able to get to that, the way they stack plays, Grant, I thought was fantastic. It looks like they're running a little choice route, kind of breaks up to a vertical go, ends up being an explosive play right before the 2 minute where they get that field goal. Like they get it, you know, and the chemistry that Darnold has with him, the trust that he has in him, I think is incredible. And so I think while there's a lot of things that, you know, I wish they would have done differently, that is one that I'm not sure that they could have fixed, because Sam Darnold, like you said, is playing high level football, and the coaches for that staff, that team, are doing a great job of kind of managing him on a down-to-down basis.
It felt like there wasn't enough pressure in this game.
I think that's a good feeling.
When you were on the sideline, did you feel him having to move? I mean, the times where they moved him, he was slippery and he kind of reset. And one of the things I really liked about him, and again, this is my eventual vision and dream for Jaden Daniels, who I thought early in the game and throughout the game, when he got pressured, he's running. He's leaving the pocket. He's scrambling, and it's not turning into a throw. It's turning into three or four and, you know, getting hit. with Darnold, he's moving out of the pocket to reset. And you saw that a lot tonight, but still not enough times where he was off his mark.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that feels the most different between the Seattle defense and the Commanders defense in this game. I think, you know, when you're watching from the sideline, you see guys running open, you see guys in space. I'm talking on the Commanders offense, but Jaden can't get the football to them because he's pressured on over 50% of his dropbacks. I think it's like 57% pressure rate for them on dropbacks, which is crazy. And again, like over the course of the game, I remember talking to Fletch about this on the broadcast, you could feel him kind of getting anxious in the pocket. Like he needed to vacate. He needed to win with his legs. And the other thing too, is when you go back and watch the wide of some of that stuff, is like, these are concepts that are their bread and butter that are just blanketed. You know, there's nowhere for him to go with the football. So as much as I want to say, hey, Jaden, step up, adjust, like make a play subtly in the pocket.
Their personnel down, the Debo's back, so it's basically no Terry, no Noah Brown, but they haven't had Noah Brown all year, so I don't even know anymore if that's
correct.
A big part of it, but no Terry. But, I mean, these are the guys they have. Now, Luke was out.
Yep.
He gets hurt on the opening kickoff. It looked like some kind of collarbone or something. So he's in the locker room and unavailable. So you had Treylon Burks playing a lot.
Yep.
He caught a ball, I think, one for 14. But this was his debut. He's running, getting cardio, basically.
Yeah.
But, they had Bates split out at times. They had Ertz split out at times because they were down to just Debo, Lane, Burks, and Moore, who wasn't targeted in this game at wide receiver.
Yep.
But to that point, like, who's separating? And there are plenty of plays, certainly, where he's scrambling because nobody's getting open. That's definitely a thing.
No, and I think that's – it's – you just feel the difference, right? Like, so for example, like when Washington's on defense and it's a drop back passing situation, there's time for you can feel it, like the zone stretching, the man coverage is stretching, guys are creating separation, and Sam Darnold can sit in the pocket and deliver a strike. And with Jaden Daniels, it's like there was a play that I vividly remember. I think it was like one of the last third downs of the game in the third quarter where he's waiting for the corner route to come open. He's just kind of trying to anticipate the throw. They drop under it. There's nothing coming to his vision. It's like he's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to get the ball where it should go. The window's incredibly small. The pressure's in his face. He ends up taking a sack. And I'm just like, I'm not sure what I could reasonably ask him to do differently on that play. And I think that's the thing coming out of it was just like, and I feel for Cliff, man. I feel bad because it's really hard to game plan and scheme this way, you know, when you have to, when that Seattle team is so good at stopping the run, right? When you are in all these drop back passing situations because you're playing from behind, it's just the team isn't built at this moment to win in those situations. And I think that's really challenging.
But you spent your career mostly with the guy that I think gets receivers open better than anybody in Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, and I think someone at home could be saying, well, there's got to be a way, right? I mean,
there is a way.
Stack formations, bunch formations, getting free releases. You know, they kind of line up.
But I will say this about Kyle. One of the things about his offense when it's depleted is they do a really good job of living in these condensed formations like you're talking about and running the heck out of the football. Very similar to how Seattle does it, right? It's like almost like that Spider-Man meme, right? Like, like just a different version. But
so people know Clint Kubiak's from that tree. I mean, Gary Kubiak was Mike's OC for a long time.
Yeah, so you have that kind of Spider-Man meme, like, it's the same. And so the offense is built from a personnel standpoint to do some of that stuff. This is built in a different way. You know, this offensive background of Cliff is different, and there are tricks and tools that he uses to get guys open that I love and I think are really innovative. But again, when you're playing, the other thing I wanted to bring up with Kyle's system, it really helps when you're in a good game flow. Think about when they were rolling, going to Super Bowls, like the defense is playing good ball. They never don't have to run the football. They never don't have to kind of get away from the keeper play. They can be very deliberate about taking shots because they trust the defense. They're okay with their special teams, and they kind of do a great job patiently finding these explosive opportunities. And that, quite frankly, is what Seattle was doing prior to this and this offensive explosion we saw tonight.
Yeah, they've got to find a way to hit on some things down the field. I know we've been saying this for a few weeks.
Yeah.
But to just soften some things up in the running game, to get some things going underneath. I know some of it was late in the game when it was out of hand, but frankly, most of the plays were because it got out of hand really quickly. I mean, it was 14-0. Jalen Lane fumbles the kickoff. One play later, it's 21-0.
Yeah.
And, And that was midway through the second quarter.
That was unbelievable.
That was two scores in less than 15 seconds.
Because you're like 14-0, like that's less than ideal, but we can still operate
here. Go get a drive.
And I did feel like there was signs of life from the offense prior to that. Like they had, I think they had a bad penalty, if I remember correctly, on the first drive. That kind of
chop block.
Yes. And so you're like, okay, well, without that penalty, they can go on a thing here. We get 7-14. We're in a ball game. Fumble the opening kickoff, man, and that's a disaster. And I think that's the other thing about this game is that everything that the Commanders need to do to win this game, be excellent on special teams, be hyper-efficient on offense, limit the explosive plays defensively. They just weren't able to get there, right? They weren't able to play that brand of complementary football. And I'm not giving any great analysis here, but I think that's again, the margin for error is so incredibly small here. We need to be excellent on teams, hyper-efficient on offense, very, very conservative in terms of keeping stuff in front of us on defense, and we just unfortunately weren't able to do it.
I said chop block. It was block in the back
is what they call it. That's right.
Kind of a ticky-tack foul on Biotish, I thought. But yeah, that killed their first drive, no doubt about it. Couple of other things. I thought Debo looked a little bit closer to what he had looked like earlier in the season.
Some of those slants and crosses, yes. Yeah, I agree.
Especially he had the 22-yard catch and run. I think it actually went for 19. They brought it back. But 19-yard catch and run at one point. Like, that was the guy we saw in the first month of the season. Some of that is maybe he's getting healthier with the heel. And you mentioned they haven't really gotten him the ball with a full head of steam.
Yeah.
Kind of the way that it works with him is you got to get the machine running.
Yeah.
You're pre-starting the vehicle in the driveway. And, like, that finally happened. So that was good to see. They're going to need more of that against Detroit because the Lions are coming in here this week. They just lost today to the Vikings. They're going to be mad. Obviously, they're trying to avenge a playoff loss. I don't know how much you know about Dan Campbell, but he likes to really hold grudges against people and likes to score as many points as possible against teams he doesn't like. So they're going to need more Debo next week.
You're going to need more Debo, and I think they're just going to need a more consistent effort across the board
from
a football standpoint, which is something that I'll be interested to see how they get to. You know what I mean? Like, where do you create the pass rush? How do you get kind of some of these communications issues cleaned up in the back end defensively? And then offensively, like – there's just what is our explosive weapon, you know? And I think, and again, I've said this before, like when you're not in rhythm offensively, it's hard to get to those play calls down the sheet, especially if you're not kind of in that plus 50 zone going into score, because that's when people usually call their explosive plays. So again, Cliff's got to get in his bag. How do we get Debo the football? Who can provide that explosive element? You know, Treylon Burks is a tall, long, good-looking son of a gun when he's running around in warm-ups.
Looks good in a uniform.
Yeah, so maybe he's got a little bit juice. You know, he's a first-round player for a reason, so maybe you can get some athletic upside from that. But it's going to be it's going to definitely be Cliff in his bag as much as possible, kind of engineering as much offense as he can.
I know Treylon Burks has not done much in his career.
Yeah.
I could tell after looking at him why he went the first round. You want him getting off the bus first.
Yeah.
One notable thing as far as the running back pecking order, it was a tough day at the office again for Bill. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, 12 for 38, right around 3.2 per pop. Again, I didn't think it was necessarily that he wasn't doing anything, but they couldn't get a whole lot going. There were a couple runs I thought when we watch back where he's jumping around a little bit instead of getting downhill. They bring in Chris Rodriguez. He goes for 65 on 12 carries, long of 12, 5.5 a pop, scores a touchdown.
He's getting downhill.
I thought that was pretty encouraging to see. I mean, the change of pace of just like it, there was a power to it. There was, you know, downhill's the word, man. He was full head of steam and ready to collide with someone at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and I think that's something that'll be interesting to see moving forward how they do, because they've always been so good, at least in the last year, about saying this guy's the hot hand. Let's get him more touches. Austin Eckler last year, it was Brian Robinson, whoever it was, and now it's been Bill Kroski-Merritt. But early in the season, remember, Chris Rodriguez had all those explosive runs. So it's like, can we kind of figure out which pitch to throw at the right time? Because, dude, again, hats off to Chris Rodriguez, man. You know, there's certain things as a former football player and as a coach now that I just love. And when the game is out of reach and you're running that physically violent, like, you deserve a gold star, because like that hurts. That doesn't feel good. And you're putting it on the line for this team. It's so easy.
Think about it too, Logan. I mean, he's a 6th-round pick, you know, different regime now, obviously. But that said, he's been a survivor in the league and he's trying to earn carries.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been basically out of sight, out of mind, you know, goes from borderline deactive to, you know, just not used. So now he's finally getting ops.
Yeah.
He's desperate to show what he's got.
And some of those carries, Grant, like being on the sideline, it's such a special experience to be down there. Cause I mean, he is running into a brick wall and he is doing it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Willingly and running his feet, and the offensive line's pushing him forward. There was a third down that he was short on the carry, just kept it turning and fell forward. And just like, man, that's what I want, you know, in that kind of situation. And again, this is not an indictment of Bill, because I thought Bill did some good stuff running the football, but I just think to highlight Chris and his physicality and his approach in this game, in a game that didn't have a lot of highlights in it, I think he was one that deserves a shout out.
State Senator Jennifer Carroll Foy here, asking you to vote for my friend, Ghazala Hashmi, for Lieutenant Governor. She's a lifelong educator who's fought to expand job training. And Ghazala wrote the bill protecting Medicaid from Trump and MAGA extremists. Join me in voting for Ghazala Hashmi for Lieutenant Governor and Democrats up and down the ballot. Paid for by Workers Vote, 212-265-7000. Not authorized by any federal candidate or federal candidates committee. Workers Vote is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All right, so then a couple of things looking ahead at this point. They got a lot to sort out in a very short time. Defensively, after a game like this where you give up almost 9 per play, about 420 yards, where it goes as badly as this one did, is there anything? I don't want to call it a short week, but it's late night Sunday. Yeah, yeah. Kind of changes the algorithm a little bit. Is there anything you think they can do to – like they've already talked about communication. They've already talked about simplifying. So if I'm a fan sitting at home, I'm going – just saying, well, we'll do better at some, like, what else can be done?
No, right? I think that's a great question. I understand, because I've had, when I was walking up here, a fan stopped me and was like, what are we going to do? And so what I think it's important to understand is, like, that's the only thing you can do. You can simplify the game plan. We can kind of clean up rules and just try to make sure that the guys in the field can execute versus whatever is being presented. So when I hear Joe Wood Jr. say, we got to simplify, we got to work on our communication, I know that sounds like just flippant.
Yes.
But that is the solution. You know what I mean? That is the thing.
Like, they've talked about play speed.
Yes.
To kind of go deeper into that. They're not just saying we need to simplify it as like an axiom. They're saying we need to make it simpler for our players so they can play faster. And I think at this point I'm wondering, like, is it just next time you get a chance, you need to add more speed? And you can't do that right now.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. And I think there might be an element of that for sure. But I also think that when you come off the sideline after a touchdown and everybody's talking to each other and they don't know the solution, that's not clear. For whatever reason, that was not clear in the week. And again, the Seattle offense is sneaky, right? It's something I wish I would have talked about more in the preview show in hindsight. Pre-snap motions to get to difficult formations to cover is sneaky. It's really good, right? So we're going to start in 2x2, going to motion the tight end across. We're going to flip the back. Every one of those movements and motions, you're now in a 3x1 with the tight end on the offensive left. The back changes size as well. That is very, very difficult for the defense to communicate and manage. And so in my film study, you saw it happen all the time. Low red zone, third downs. It was something they used quite a bit to kind of, again, put the defense in conflict, create good mashups. And they did that tonight. And so they deserve credit for putting them in conflict, obviously. But again, like, we got to make sure that the guys know what to do and how to execute the play call that we've called.
To circle back to the big story of the night, again, Seahawks 38-14 winners over Washington, 4 straight losses for the Commanders, 3 by 21 or more points now. But the story really is the Jaden Daniels injury and the fact that he goes down, he's planting his left arm on the ground to brace his fall as he's getting twisted up on. I actually thought in real time it was initially his knee.
Oh,
because
I was literally standing right there. So I knew exactly what it was, but yeah, I understand.
So
what
you could see.
Oh my God. It was real time. Like they're Bram and London are talking. I'm like, oh my gosh, his arm. Like I was Yeah. Like
it
was,
so the replay immediately, I mean, if you don't want to see it, don't look for it.
Don't watch it. It's his elbow.
It's gruesome. It looks like you know what it looks like? It's an elbow getting dislocated.
I shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't, but it's like,
that's what, you know,
it's gross. It's and I feel bad. So bad for him because it's such a painful injury. But anyway, go ahead.
So it's a terrible thing, but I bring this up to say, they have had Marcus Mariota at quarterback a few times already.
Yep.
There's a plan in place here. I mean, he gets to run the week. You know what the offense looks like with him. Now what?
Talking about with Marcus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, are you better off just because this, you know, it's not like this is the first time you have to do it. He's played almost as much as Jaden this year.
Yeah. I still think you run into some of the same issues. Like Jaden, I think when you look at tonight's game, like he is elevating in a way that's unique to him.
Totally.
Right. And I think that's something that to give him his flowers. And Marcus, while a very talented player, is not the same player. And I think it just forces more evolution, more thought, more game plan, more defensive, more special team support for the offense. And so I think that's what I'd say. It's like, yes, Marcus is good. I think you're in a good spot because he's played a lot of football this year and he's looked good. It's just, can we, it's the same issue. Can we find explosive chunks? Can we find easy buttons?
This is going to end up being a dumb point that I'm about to make, especially come Sunday against Detroit probably. So I'm just going to make it anyway. And then everyone can tell me that I'm a fat goof, but the quick game element that Mariota can provide might help them a little bit. After a game where they just gave up pressures on 50-some% of dropbacks, when he plants, the ball comes out, and that quick game, they got to get back to that.
It's such an interesting point you make, and it's such a unique observation because, like, one of the things that Jaden and this offense was so good at last year was finding the soft spots in zones and delivering the football. Now you can't do that because everyone's playing man coverage against you.
Right.
And so it's totally flipped this quick game element that you were living and surviving and dying with because it could offset some of your deficiencies in the run game because now you're getting all this man coverage. And so when you want to get the ball out quick in zone, it's like that guy's getting pressed up. That's a tough throw. I don't feel comfortable making that because the plug player is pushing over to that. So it's the lack of offensive firepower on the perimeter has not only affected the run game, it's affected the intermediate and short passing attack as well. And so that's the thing about Marcus. It's like, yeah, he's very talented at it, just like Jaden is, but it just hasn't been there in the same way. And I think that's something that's going to be I love the play down here in the low red where we fake the bubble and we run the slant and Jalen Lane catches the ball. That's great. That's a way to manufacture quick game.
That's an awesome
But design. you're only going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe so many times as a defense. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's something, again, when I say this is going to be hard for Cliff, it is so hard for Cliff when you don't have the horses to execute some of the things that have been staples for your offense the last year and a half.
No, I don't think anyone thinks Sunday is going to be easy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I don't envy them. I mean, and you got more injuries to deal with after tonight. This has been a grueling season. I do. I feel for them. I feel for the staff. I really feel for the fans, because I got to say, we can wrap it up here, but this atmosphere tonight before kickoff
was special.
It was so good. This is what I've dreamt about since I was a kid, is like a badass stadium with badass light shows.
Light show and
like
lasers.
Everyone's wearing wristbands and they got lasers shooting on the field. And I don't know who's responsible, but all the people they brought in here from other organizations that are doing things like you see in other places. And it was all perfect. The social team batted 1,000 all week with all of the things. The uniforms looked amazing. All I want to talk about is that they look like the Redskins again. And I'm so happy about it. Yeah. These are going to be their permanent uniforms, hopefully next year. And then the game started. And I'm not even trying to be a jerk about it, but like it was all perfect. And then you had to play a football game, and it's just a bummer. Dan Quinn, to his credit, he crushed it, I thought, after the game. Talked about how furious he was, but he said, like, we missed our opportunity by a mile.
Yeah.
And he pointed all this out. He said, you know, you got one of your legends having his jersey retired. You got all these legends in the house. He's like, the fans were unbelievable. The atmosphere was exactly what we basically have been looking forward to since we got here. He's like, and we just didn't deliver. And I think that's fair.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons I love Dan, is because like it's hard to face that.
Yeah.
It's hard to face a room of people asking you questions about why you didn't do a good job. And he did a great job of it, you know, kind of owning that. And that's something that I've always respected about him, is he's going to own the things he can control. And he's going to get back to the drawing board. And I think that's the thing that, again, I respect the hell out of him and the whole staff for, is because, and really we talked about it at the beginning. It's like when you're a professional football player, when you're professional anything, you got to go to work, and we got to make sure we put our best foot forward next week against a Detroit team who's not going to be messing around.
It's like one of the reasons I really respect you too, is that you wear bucket hats.
I'm a big bucket hat guy. Huge bucket hat guy.
Flip the brim up. Too,
little Gulligan's Island, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the guy who wore too much sunscreen on his nose in Salute Your Shorts.
I do remember that guy. That's a good bit. I don't remember that guy's name, but
yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
I do, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sponge and Donkey Lips.
Yeah, all those guys.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right, Logan, you have earned yourself a delicious piece of kale tonight.
Thank you. I'm excited, man. Yeah, and I just, again, man, like, feel so bad for Jaden. And yeah. I just, again, like, hopefully it's not a bad recovery. Cause again, I've played with dudes, dislocated elbows, like you said, ligaments, all that kind of stuff.
So I don't know anything, but I texted with the doctor buddy, and he's like, if there's no ligaments or fracture, it's actually one of those things that looks a lot worse than it is.
And it's fine. Yeah.
But that's a big if. I mean, we just don't know anything.
But also, and again, like, it's just anytime anybody gets hurt, the psychological toll it takes is so hard. And
how about you could see that you were right there.
Yeah.
So you could speak to this, but I mean, everyone on the knee around him, like, it was clearly a wind out of the sails moment.
Absolutely. And again, just feel for him. I was talking to a fan before I came up here, and he was like almost in tears talking about Jaden, you know, hurt and like the future of the franchise. And I was just like, I feel you, bud. And this is not RG3. It's not the same thing. It's not the same type of injury, not the same caliber of injury, but it does feel like he was the thing that gave you that spark of hope. So wish him a speedy recovery. Hope's all is well. Hopefully everyone takes good care of him. So
maybe next time Seattle's here, let's just not play any quarterbacks for that game.
Just run the wing tee.
Yeah, exactly. Go just have me or you hand the ball off to Rodriguez and Ja'Cory Krosky Bill. All right, for Logan, I'm Grant, saying so long. Take Command is available 3 times a week. You can stream us on video, YouTube, 106.7 The Fan, Team 980. You can podcast, download, subscribe, rate, review, wherever you get your audio. Thank you for joining us. We've got a film breakdown on the game coming up in just a couple of days on Take Command.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.